The following presentation has been prepared by the Video Tax News team for Canadian Tax and Financial Professionals. Program recorded March 21st, 2024. Enjoy!
Welcome to the April edition of Life in the Tax Slang. Flowers are blossoming, although many of you don't even realize it because you're stuck inside. We're all stuck inside.
Can't stop to smell the flowers, all right. How about you, Q? Smelled any flowers lately?
Well, you know, I think a lot of us in this business have been away from the flowers for a little while, thanks to the bear trust rules keeping us out of trouble. And I think we owe a little thanks to CRA for recognizing there really is a problem here. They tried to fix it, giving us penalty relief. Really wasn't that reassuring. But when they found out people weren't reassured, they did something about it. We now have penalty relief that says, look, we're not applying the base penalty at all if you miss the April 2 deadline, which we may already have done, for a 2023 bear trust return. But as for that other penalty that already only applies when you knowingly or due to gross negligence missed the filing, we're not just going to assess that automatically, even if those high parameters are met. We're only going to look at that in the most egregious of situations, when we're already doing compliance activity like an audit in respect of the taxpayer. And even if we think it's warranted then, it's going to headquarters to get a review. So we make sure that we're not going back on our word that only the worst cases will get these penalties. So I think CRA has recognized there's a problem. I think a lot of practitioners have kind of said, you know, we're not getting a penalty. Maybe in those uncertain cases, we'll just put the brakes on and wait for more guidance. Hopefully we're going to get some. But I think we got to remember that we don't want to be in this position in mid-March next year, remembering all the bear trusts we should have filed this year if they do need to get filed.
Oh, thanks, Hugh. Well, let's transition out of T3s for a moment into the T1 personal tax return world. And we know that there are a lot of people still working from home. And if you want to make a claim in respect of home office expenses, you need to have a T2200 signed and provided to you from your employer. So some of the questions that we have out there is, well, what happens if my employer refuses to sign this and refuses to give it to me? Don't they have to do that? Like, they have to give me a T4? And unfortunately, the answer is no. There is no legal requirement that they have to give it to you. So you don't get it, you're out of luck for the most part. So that's just one of the things that need to watch out for this year. And the second part of this too is that $2 per day flat rate method. We've probably heard this already, but it's not available this year. So if you want to make these claims, a lot more information is going to be required. So invoices, summaries, receipts, shape of your house, square footage of your house, those are the types of things we're going to have to get involved with this year to make those claims.
We're going to carry on with another T1 warning. One of the really fantastic tools that CRA has developed over the years is Autofill My Return. And that's where we go online, we pull out those slips that CRA has uploaded onto the system to populate our tax return. We have a warning this month, however, about blindly using this tool. We still got to be thinking, we still got to be making sure we're properly completing the tax return. And the reason for this is there's always that risk that Autofill My Return is not complete. We don't have the most recent slips. We don't have the slips uploaded yet for whatever reason. And even as we were talking off camera, at this point in time when we're shooting, it looks like a lot of these T4 slips are getting delayed, populated onto Autofill My Return. So heads up, blindly relying on it. We had a court case this month where a taxpayer did simply use Autofill My Return. He missed getting a slip reported because it wasn't on Autofill My Return. It resulted in a huge unreported income from the taxpayer, huge interest penalties and interest expenses, And he went to the CRA to get relief and they said no. And now he's in the courts trying to fight that CRA wasn't reasonable. So just avoid that altogether. Use Autofill, but then also use your common sense. Is there something missing on Autofill My Return?
Okay, we see issues all the time with this. Amended slips that don't get up there. We know that there are some slips like T3s that don't even have to get filed until late March, early April, April 2 this year. They take time to get up there. And ultimately, the courts are pretty clear. It's my responsibility to understand what my income is and report it all, not CRA's responsibility to tell me about it. So Autofill is a great service. But if I don't report all my income, that's still going to be on me. One area where that, I think, becomes a real problem is when we get into the Canada Carbon Rebate. We're supposed to get a check in April, and CRA realizes, well, we need to know your status before we send the check. So get your tax return in by March 15th. Well, it's a little late for that now, and I find it a little unreasonable for them to be online telling people, of course you can file. All your slips will be on my account. We know they aren't. The other challenge we're going to see this year is that rural rebate, the 20% boost. Oh, wait, it's a 10% boost because we haven't legislated it up to 20% yet. And until that gets passed, they can't pay out the excess. Not looking good for it even being passed by the time the checks go out. But even if it were passed right now, could they update the systems in time? So could be some follow-up checks later on for the Canada Carbon Rebate.
That's right. The first check it's supposed to affect is the mid-April check. So, you know, we're not far away from that now.
And you might be thinking, Canada Carbon Rebate, what the heck's that? That's just the new name for the Climate Action Incentive Payment. Same old program, new lipstick, new name there.
So that brings us to our next topic, short-term rentals, short-term property rentals like Airbnb rentals, those kind of things. So we got proposals out there, hasn't actually passed yet, but it would deny any deductions against these earnings you're getting from short-term properties, short-term rentals, where you're not meeting all of the local and provincial rules associated with those types of earnings. So that's a big thing. We've now got an article that has come out from CPA Canada discussing this, giving some ins and outs, and they also provide an example. And when you run the numbers and think how important or how big this could be, it's a big deal. Just to give you the example, if you have a $20,000 net earnings and there is $100,000 of expenses associated with this, let's say that you're offside for half the year. They changed the municipal rules. You're now offside for half the year. That means $50,000 in deductions are going to be disallowed. That means your income goes from $20,000 to $70,000. So if you're in the top tax bracket, we'll call it a 50% rate, your tax goes from $10,000 to $35,000. $35,000 compared to just $20,000 of net income. This is a serious thing. Your effective tax rate is well over 100%. So that's a pretty big deal we're watching out for. And this article also points out a few other things, like this doesn't just affect individuals. It affects corporations and trusts. There's no statute of limitations in respect of reassessments on these types of things. So CRA could come back 10 years from now and potentially look at this, say, hey, you have missed these disclosures. So a lot of issues there. We're really going to have to pay attention to municipal rules and provincial rules. And finally, if you're already offside, you have till the end of 2024 to get onside. And if you do that, if you get onside by the end of the year, then you're going to be good for the 2024 year. And this is the first year that we're affected by these rules.
So I got to figure when I'm doing this year's 2023 tax return, I should probably be looking for those business license fees if they're required in my municipality. If they're not there, either I miss the deduction or I may miss all my deductions next year.
Well, we're going to continue on with the spring. So in addition to T1s, we're also thinking about those underused housing tax, those UHT returns. And one of the biggest questions that we're getting as a team related to the underused housing tax is whether we can file our 2023 UHT returns based on the proposals included in the fall economic statement. So by way of a very quick reminder, the proposals where we have draft legislation but no bill yet basically would expand the concept of excluded owner. If you're an excluded owner, you don't need to file. So if you are versed in these rules, if you have a trustee of a specified Canadian trust, partner of a specified Canadian partnership, or a specified Canadian corporation, they would all now be considered excluded owners under the proposals. So can you rely on these proposals this year for your 2023 filings? CRA just recently released a brand new technical notice, UHTN 16, where they talk about the proposals. They provide awesome, excellent examples of the application of these proposals, but nowhere in that guidance, at least as of publication date, does CRA say whether we can rely on the proposal. So the technical notice is silent to that. What we do have, however, is the 2023 version of the UHT return that basically incorporates these proposals into the guidance on that UHT return. So that is very encouraging, but we are very still closely watching CRA comments on this and maybe even some legislation passing through with respect to that. So that is all we have for this month. Thank you for joining us.
The Video Tax News team has been providing Canadian accounting professionals with practical tax information for over 40 years. Subscribe to one of our tax newsletters or join us as we present live and pre-recorded seminars relating to both personal and corporate tax. For more information, go to videotax.com. The preceding information is for general information purposes only and deals with dynamic, time-sensitive, and complex matters that may not apply to particular facts or circumstances. Information provided should not be relied upon as a substitute for specialized professional advice in connection with any particular matter. For more information, go to videotax.com/disclaimer. Copyright Video Tax News, Inc., 2024, all rights reserved.